cause of the Babylon and the situation. When I was a boy about 8 years old, there was a certain Rasta man, and he loved all the children, and he treated us like a man. Even the little children that no one cares for, we call up everyone. And he gave us fruit and treated everyone with a special love. Many people see I, many people ask I, why am I a Rasta man? But he taught I the love to give to everyone. Many people see I, many people ask I, why am I a Rasta man? There is no better way to express my love to each and everyone. One Saturday morning, a special thing happened to this man. Here comes Mr. Babylon to take away the Rasta man. So they root up him herb and they eat up him fruit and throw it in a van. And straight up at that for 3 long years, I never see the Rasta man. They took him to General Penitentiary and them sent him back as a violent man. But God could not change him, his mind was not in prison, was only his body, man. Many people see I, many people ask I, why am I a Rasta man? No matter what the battle be, I still am trying my hand. Many people see I, many people ask I, why am I a Rasta man? How sweet the name of Georgia sound to every righteous Rasta man. And the same old Rasta man told me pound, shilling and pins would come out of circulation, and we would use that shoot, Birdman. And I have seen 7 years after that, it was no use, man. Donkey horses and cows keep on treading up and heaping him, man. Hey, everyone I see, I, everyone ask I, why am I a Rasta man? I'm here to prove and to testify about prophecy. Everyone I see, I, everyone ask I, why am I a Rasta man? John the Baptist, Marcus, Gabby and Christ, they was a Rasta man. Everyone see I, everyone ask I, why am I a Rasta man? I bow the bow up a Nazarite and I can't do no otherwise, man. Everyone see I, everyone ask I, why am I a Rasta man? I love my brothers and my sisters and I cannot give up at all, man. Brother Brown, Brother Coos, Brother Tom, Brother Stanley, man. I used to hear them beat the drum and sing way in the forest land, hey. Everyone see I, everyone ask I, why am I a Rasta man? I love the beat of the Naya Bingi that calls on creation.
Hello, and thank you for listening to great speeches and interviews on Acts of Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. And if you're just tuning into this program or listening to Should We Legalize Drugs? Would the United States be better off legalizing all recreational drugs? A panel of experts tackle that question in an Oxford-style debate.
But I have a question for you that I would like to ask. You know, we didn't really cover this, and that is how the legalization would work. Take heroin or methamphetamine. I would presume if it's legalized, the state would be granting licenses so that you can regulate the purity and the quality of the heroin and that the methamphetamine is quality stuff. So I am curious, one, is this not another government regime that's being created with a libertarian argument that you're creating? So you're creating more government by your libertarian approach wanting to legalize drugs because they're going to have to regulate it and tax it. So how's that going to work?
I respectfully submit that I have never taken a drug strong enough for that argument to be convincing. But in Colorado, the initiative that was passed for marijuana legalization was basically, I mean, it was out there, and it's a similar thing in Washington State. to treat marijuana like wine, beer, and alcohol. But it's not a choice between anarchy and, a ratcheted down regulatory system. The real question is about legalizing drugs. Do you consider alcohol to be legal? Let's have a regime that is very similar to that for currently illegal substances.
Let me step in and ask Paul Butler something. Paul, you drew a distinction between treating addiction and punishing addiction, which suggests that perhaps unlike your partner, you're talking about addiction as a problem that needs to be addressed by the society. In other words, are you saying drug use is a problem?
Well, I think addiction is a medical issue, and I think Nick and I agree that only a small percentage of people who use drugs become addicted to it. So most people are able to use marijuana and other drugs recreationally and go to work the next day. Most people are also able to do that with alcohol. For the percentage of people who have substance abuse problems with it, we know, the good doctor knows, that's a health issue. So the way to treat that problem is to use what we know about medicine and not what we know about locking people up, because what we know about locking people up is it doesn't work.
Dr. Dalrymple.
Well, I actually don't agree that addiction is fundamentally a medical problem. And
you think it's a moral problem?
I do, yes.
Wow.
And a moral problem and a social problem and a psychological problem and a spiritual problem, and it's only to a very small extent a medical problem. I mean, there are medical consequences, of course, but this is not what is important.
Let me ask your partner, Ace Hutchinson. We've heard a few references to alcohol, and the nation did try, amended the Constitution to outlaw alcohol consumption and decided it was a mistake. What's the difference between alcohol and the prescribed drugs?
Well, they're all problematic drugs subject to abuse. The debate question tonight, though, of course, is legalizing all drugs. And again, I go back to the question, which relates to ending prohibition in late 1920s. You ended prohibition on alcohol. Use went up, availability went up, regulation went up, taxation went up, and you compare that to legalizing methamphetamine. You're going to have an opportunity for the state to regulate methamphetamine producers, and it's going to be taxed, and so the price will be set by the marketplace, which is regulated and taxed. And so the question is, will you end crime? Will you end the cartels? Will you end the black market because you regulate methamphetamine? Of course not. And so all of your hope of ending the DEA or ending law enforcement will not happen with legalization.
Here, I think Nicholas, there's a major kind of conceptual error when we're talking about crime here. When we know that Mexican drug cartels are killing people on both sides of the border, when's the last time you heard about a Dos Equis shootout where a beer distributor crossing
of times. Most murders are committed under the influence of alcohol.
The last time you heard about that sort of thing was during alcohol prohibition.
Are you going to have a black market for methamphetamine?
Sure.
Absolutely.
We already do. What would happen is if we had a legal one, the other social harms would be reduced.
Just make a couple of small points. When we look at the murder rate during prohibition, it is, of course, perfectly true that it went up. But in the same period before prohibition, the murder rate went up by 85%. And in 6 years, between 1900 and 1906, the murder rate in this country went up by 325%. So I think that the relationship between violent crime and prohibition is probably not nearly as close as people imagine.
Can I interrupt, though, and ask a question from something that Asa Hutchinson said earlier, in which he reported that in the last 30 years, the use of drugs by Americans has declined 30%, and 50%, and he sees that correlation being directly related to causation, that the drug war actually means that fewer Americans use drugs. Are you impressed by that statistic, Paul Butler?
I'm not, in part because we have to do our cost-benefit analysis. If that's true, is it worth it? The cost have been 2.5 million people in prison. The cost have been 1 in 3 young black men with a criminal case. The cost have been billions of dollars that we can't afford.
Nicholas.
I'd like to defer to the experience and the expertise of the opposition to legalization, but I'm left wondering what world we're talking about here. And here are the stats that are important. The government runs something called the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. Basically, in the past month use, they asked people, have you used this drug in the past 30 days, which is kind of a proxy for, a regular user or a casual user. About 7% of people over the ages of 12, 12-year-olds, by the way, it's almost 100%. They say yes to everything. But About 7% of Americans say that they've used pot in the past month. By far, by a factor of 3 or more, that's the most widely used illegal drug or legal drug that's used illegally. When you're talking about things like meth and heroin, 0.1%, hallucinogens covering a wide range of things, 0.5%, crack or cocaine including crack, 0.6%, these are non-factors. And as Paul was suggesting, if they're made legal, who out here is going to be like, finally, heroin is legal? You know, let's try it. No. Okay, that's not going to happen. It's about pot.
I think logic tells you usage goes up. And this debate is not about marijuana. It is drugs, plural. And to be consistent in your philosophy of libertarianism, which my colleagues are consistent, they recognize it doesn't do any good to legalize one. You have to legalize all. And if you because that's the only way you're going to change the environment of enforcement, to change the environment of police. And so the debate tonight is about legalizing all drugs.
I'm John Donvan, and you're listening to Intelligence Squared U.S., Oxford-style debating on America's shores. Four panelists are arguing for and against this motion. It is time to legalize drugs. Stay with us. I'm John Donvan, and you're listening to Intelligence Squared U.S., Oxford-style debating on America's shores. Welcome back to the program.
All right, let's go to some questions from the audience. And I want to remind you that we are now in the question and answer section of this Intelligence Squared U.S. debate. I'm John Donvan, your moderator. We have four debaters, two against two, who are arguing it out over this motion, legalize drugs. Sir.
I'd like to understand a bit more, Mr. Hutchinson, the comments you made about that we can't legalize one without essentially legalizing them all, that it's not useful. But historically, we have legalized one very major drug, and that is alcohol. Why wouldn't legalizing just one more, say going with heroin, that's not heroin, but going with marijuana, got to pick the right one. Why wouldn't going one step further and thus removing the tremendous amount of people who are in jail for that and all the money that's going to the criminals that sell it today, why wouldn't that be useful?
Hutchinson, thank you.
You're right. We're a democracy, so you could choose to legalize heroin if you wish or marijuana and pick one of them. But my argument would be, generally people say, well, one of the reasons we need to legalize because you got to put the cartels out of business. Well, they're smart business folks and they have diversified. So if you legalize marijuana, they're going to trade in cocaine, methamphetamine, and they will market those. But the second point is simply that the debate topic is not just about marijuana. It is broad-based legalization because, well, that's the debate topic, and that's what we're trying to stick.
You can listen to great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Hey, so if somebody wants to use any of the drugs that are currently illegal, aside from the fact that they're breaking the law, just in terms of the little bubble of their own life, is that anybody's business but their own? In other words, where is the social dimension to that use?
Well, the social dimension is, and I hate to keep speaking of methamphetamine, but that's a real problem where I'm from. And methamphetamine, you're manufacturing it, you've got children around, they're taking the methamphetamine and they're abandoning their kids for weeks on end. And so it's a child welfare issue that is extraordinarily harmful. It is environmentally unsafe. So
and
those
in your
are
world,
some societal
in,
problems.
In your world, for somebody to get help, they have to admit that they're a criminal.
No, you can go get treatment anytime you want to.
And
you
don't have admit to admit that you've broken the law.
Well, of course, you know that if somebody has a problem with an addiction and they go into a clinic, they're not going to get arrested for it. They're going to get help and they get treatment. And that's the goal in the workplace, too. If you do testing and you find a worker who has got an abuse problem, they're not sending the police, they're sending them treatment. And that's the objectives of the employers, and that's working well in the workplace. And all of that effort would be abandoned if you went through legalization. All of a sudden, why would you drug test anybody?
Well, that's a good question. Why do we now? Because most people who get drug tested, you get drug tested when you're applying for a job, and that's it. It's a hurdle to weed out people who, you know, on other grounds. Just to follow up on one point, the reason why I'm stressing marijuana goes back to some things that Paul is saying, and I don't think that the other side is fully acknowledging, which is that the use ratios are pot, much less prescription drugs, and then these tiny vanishing statistical errors of things like heroin. Even if you double or triple the heroin use, it goes from 0.1% of Americans to 0.3%. I don't think that's a reason to hold everyone else hostage who can act responsibly
Well, I mean, in terms of the numbers, if you're looking at marijuana use in the schools, I just come back to the fundamental question. If you legalize it, two things happen. One, the kids say, if it's legal for my folks, how could it be harmful? The government says it's legal now, and usage goes up because of that. Secondly, the availability of
tobacco. Nobody thinks tobacco is okay because it's legal.
Yeah, but the point that Asa made, that if kids see that their parents are smoking dope
or
that's
or drinking, here.
All right, fine, but make it drinking. You don't think that there's a lesson?
No, actually, what I would suggest is that when you see your parents and other adults using a drug responsibly, and we need to keep coming back to this point, drug use does not equal drug abuse. Those are two very separate things, and we can deal with them. But when you see your parents having a glass of wine with dinner and acting responsibly around an intoxicant, you learn a very strong lesson there that is going to be much more beneficial to you than if you grow up in a teetotaler house and then you have the unfortunate experience of going to Yale and Harvard, like Paul here.
Ma'am, right up against the wall.
Hi, Diana Jimenez. I come from Mexico, and in the past 6 years, we've had 60,000 people dead in drug-related violence. My question is, legalizing drugs would do better for cartel violence or worse?
I want to go to Paul Butler, since that used to be your job, to a degree.
Sure. And if we listen to the leaders of the Latin American countries, they're calling for more responsible drug policies, including for us to consider legalization, because they know that the violence is sparked by the illegal market, which is sparked by the enormous demand for drugs from the United States. So if we get rid of that illegal market, including by having drugs regulated like we regulate tobacco and alcohol now, we'll get rid of the violence.
Oh, well, to that point, the answer is absolutely no. Do you think the legalization of drugs will put the cartel out of business? It might make them adjust. But there's alien smuggling, which they're engaged in now. There's other activities. I met with President Vicente Fox whenever he was president. He was concerned not only about the cartels. He was concerned about the demand, growing demand problem and usage in Mexico of his people. And that was a concern there. And so it's not just about the cartel. It's about drug usage. I don't know of any Latin American country that wants to legalize all the drugs, heroin, cocaine, down the road.
And Mike, we'll come to you.
My sister married a Dutch guy, and their wedding was in Amsterdam about 7 or 8 years ago. And none of the Dutch people at the wedding could care less about pot. So it's been available to them their whole lives, and it seems to have taken some of the thrill away from it. Do you think that would hold true here?
Would pot stop being cool?
Yeah, you take some of the coolness. You know, if your parents are smoking pot, does that?
I'm going to take the question first to Asa Hutchinson. Would it take the thrill away and the attraction away?
It becomes very common, but let's look more carefully. And I've been to the Netherlands, and I've been to the coffee houses.
Drank coffee.
You got to investigate carefully. But the Dutch government's had second thoughts after years of expanding the cannabis cafes. I think they realized they became a tourist mecca for that purpose and what you just described. And so the number of Dutch marijuana coffee houses dropped from almost 1,200 in 1997 to 782. 73% of the Dutch towns do not allow cannabis cafes. And so I think it was a mistake, the path that they went down. They recognize that they've retreated from that, both in terms of their reputation and the commercial enterprise, but also I just think it's a direction that the Dutch towns do not want to go down.
All right, let's let Paul Butler come in.
And so there are fewer coffee houses because there's less of a demand. It turned out in Amsterdam, when they made smoking pot legal, fewer kids wanted to do it. So respectfully, Dr. Theodore and Asa, if you really want kids to stop smoking pot, you should go on TV yourselves and fire up a big juicy blunt.
We have a... We're being live streamed, and we have a question that's come into us from Washington State via Facebook. Tom Glassman, he asks, is the legalization of a drug, for example, marijuana, something that should be left to the states to decide? Nick Gillespie.
This is a fascinating political question that the Obama administration in particular is going to have to deal with, because traditionally the Democrats, or at least over the past 30 or 40 years, assert the primacy of federal law over every matter, no matter what, whether it's funding or regulations or whatnot. I guess it's a second best answer to say that drug legalization should be left to localities or to states, as opposed to a one-size-fits-all federal solution. Let's let the states and localities be laboratories of democracy and see what happens to the experiments.
I think we have time for one more question. Ma'am.
Hi, my name is Tatiana Martyshev. I'm in the healthcare profession, and I mostly deal with pain management. And I have a lot of clients who are getting treatment for cancer, and they actually tell me that their doctors say to them, listen, the best thing for you is actually just go buy some pot, because it's actually much more effective in managing the pain. It's cheaper than the drugs. Why not give them something that is readily available to them if they just walk down the street and pay someone?
Okay, take the side arguing against legalization. Well, Asa Hutchinson.
I mean, anytime a doctor or the American Medical Society says a patient needs something for pain management, I'll be the first one to sign up for it. Doctors in the medical profession should determine what's appropriate pain management and care. At this point, the AMA has not approved that. And so that's the answer. I don't think that relates to the overall debate question, but it's certainly an appropriate question to ask.
You just said that you don't feel that that question relates to the motion, and you've said that a few times on a few questions. Why not?
Well, I mean, medical marijuana is a separate and distinct issue. Some states put medical marijuana on the ballot, which takes a doctor's prescription or authorization. And so that's not a legalization issue. It is a physician issue and pain management and doctor's care.
And that concludes round two of this Intelligence Squared U.S. debate. Here's where we are. We are about to hear brief closing statements from each debater in turn. And this is their last chance to try to change your minds. Remember, you voted before the debate, and you will be asked to vote again right after these closing statements. The team that has changed the most minds will be declared our winner. Our motion is legalize drugs. And here to summarize his position against the motion, Asa Hutchinson, former administrator of the Drug Enforcement Administration.
Today, as I prepared for this debate, I received a call from a family friend in Arkansas who is a grown mother, actually has two 30-year-old girls. And she said both of them are on methamphetamine, and she simply asked, what do I do about it? And of course, I started thinking through, how does legalization impact this very real tragedy that is destroying this home and this family, and one of the 30-year-old daughters have children? And I could not think of a system of legalization that would make this better, because this person that has a problem will never get the treatment necessary to get over that addiction unless they're confronted with it, and probably from a legal standpoint. It is that officer that will say, ma'am, you've got methamphetamine in your car, you need to get help, we're going to arrest you, or you're going to go to drug court, something's going to happen, and that will change their life. And this could be multiplied over and over again. Ladies and gentlemen, this is about legalizing drugs. If you send a signal to our youth of our nation, the next generation, as President Barack Obama wants to do, that it is illegal, then usage will stay at a modest level, hopefully a declining level. If you legalize it, usage will go up. If you believe it is harmful, then you should vote no on the proposition. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Asa Hutchinson. Our motion is legalize drugs, and here to make his closing statement in support of the motion, Paul Butler, Georgetown law professor and former federal prosecutor.
Thanks first to my great partner and my very worthy opponents. It sounds, though, like I was wrong about how Asa would respond to someone who he cares about who has a drug problem, because it does sound like he thinks the best thing to do is to call the police. I just fundamentally disagree with that. I don't think that in order to get treated for a drug problem, you should have to admit that you're a criminal. I agree with President Obama when he said during the first campaign that it's blind and counterproductive to lock up nonviolent drug offenders. If it worked, if it got drugs off the street, then maybe I'd support it. But we know that it just doesn't work. The determination of who goes to criminal court in chains should not be so fortuitous. It should not depend so much on the color of your skin or how much money your parents make. As long as it does, we need to legalize drugs.
Thank you, Paul Butler.
In 1649, to St. George's Hill, A ragged band they called the Diggers came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the laws. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We come to work the lands in common and to make the waste grounds grow. This earth divided, we will make whole. So it will be a common treasury for all. The sin of property we do disdain. No man has any right to buy and sell the earth for private gain. By theft and murder they took the land. Now everywhere the walls spring up at their command. They make the laws to chain us well. The clergy dazzle us with heaven or they damn us into hell. We will not worship the God they serve, the God of greed who feeds the rich while poor men starve. We work, we eat together, we need no swords. We will not bow to the masters or pay rent to the lords. We are free men, though we are poor. You diggers all stand up for glory, stand up now. Men of property, the orders came. They sent the hired men and troopers to wipe out the diggers' claim. Tear down their cottages, destroy their corn. They were dispersed, but still the vision lingers on. You poor take courage, you rich take care. This earth was made a common treasury for everyone to share. All things in common, all people one. We come in peace, the orders came to cut them down.
More from Great Speeches and Interviews after these messages.